You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Shelby Kaiser. Shelby is an interdisciplinary artist, mystic philosopher, and spiritual healer. Among these pursuits, her intention is to part the veils of perception that condition commonly accepted reality, which includes debunking misconceived or deceptive spiritual movements and helping people perceive the fundamental essence of their existence and creation. She carries the ideal of the Übermensch to pierce through the decadence and complacency that pervade the modern-day spiritual arena, inspiring herself and others to perceive, feel, and act in accordance with transcendent principles like chivalry, beauty, and wisdom. You can find Shelby on Facebook and at www.tiamathealing.org. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Shelby. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Well, I was reading some of the notes I have that you sent me earlier about what you do, and we could certainly jump right in, but it might be more interesting to find out how you became involved with or started Tiamat organization, Tiamat Healing.
Well, I started Tiamat Healing as a response to a call that I heard from spirits, and they told me that I had to bring something into the physical world, that it wasn't enough to just connect to them and receive knowledge and information, that I was supposed to use this information for a specific goal. Mm. And over time, I learned what my will is by just little bits and little pieces. I'm still not sure exactly what my will will be 20 years down the line, because this is something that isn't revealed until it is time, but I know for the time being that I'm supposed to use knowledge and information to heal people, to increase their awareness, and to restore a certain kind of harmony to humanity.
Nice, nice. There's one thing that stood out, which I agree with, and that is the statement that is how most of humanity does not connect with a higher collective consciousness, but rather an engineered hive mind. Would you like to delve into that subject?
Certainly. So the higher consciousness, the highest consciousness that we can be aware of as humans is source consciousness itself, because we are created from source, and as such it is our birthright to return to source. But since source awareness is so many levels or frequencies or bands higher than we as humans can perceive, we often get confused when we reach a level that is, say, two or three levels higher than our own. So often people have a sense of ecstasy or this numinous experience when they connect with something that is higher than their individuality or higher than their regular mode of perception or higher than their ego functioning. And they equate this kind of mystic perception with truth, with a capital T, and they assume that this is God or this is the divine or this is all that is. But in reality, there are many, many beings that are much more evolved than we are as humans. And they can come to individuals and basically impregnate them with these sentiments, with these visions of perfect beauty and perfect love. And people mistake these deities or these beings for the source itself. And as soon as that happens, they create a link with these beings. And they mistake these beings for source.
Right. And so you go into how to perceive beyond.
Right.
There's another aspect that you talk about, too, that there are different perceptual traps reached in the expansion of consciousness, including the idea of ascension to the fifth dimension and the omnipresent benevolence of a galactic federation and communities, a hive mind variety of Christ consciousness. I tend to agree with you, and how do you view this?
Well, that's a lot to talk about at once. I feel like there is a background that I have to set up a little bit.
Okay, great.
So to understand this, you have to know that we as humans are just participating in a vast cosmic drama, and we are not the only actors on Earth. There are many, many, many other actors that have been here for millions and millions of years.
Right.
And they have basically set up our landscape. And some of them are still here today, both in the physical form and an etheric presence that is guiding, controlling, directing humanity through different visions, through different thoughts, through different dreams that people have. So these different forces, both benevolent and malevolent, are continuing to communicate with us to direct our experience in the physical world. And a lot of these beings are here today to actually help humanity through our current stage of evolution. Because right now we are at a turning point, and the Earth is going to evolve, at least under certain timelines, to a point where it has never evolved to before. So because of this, a lot of portals, per se, are opening. So just ordinary humans can perceive and interact with many different non-human and non-terrestrial beings in ways that they couldn't before. And with that, there is a lot of confusion about who they are connecting to, who they are communicating with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these beings are actually malevolent, which isn't to say that you should be scared, because being afraid isn't going to attract the right beings to you. But you have to have a certain caution in mind that whoever you communicate with, it, be it Isis or Hermes or Thoth, might not be that entity, but it might be sort of a hijacked form that a malicious intelligence is using to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
So say even if you communicate with an angel, you might be communicating with something extremely sinister. And there are three beings that I know of that are basically controlling the landscape of thought and action on Earth today. And
okay.
These beings have many different names. The names that I will use and that a lot of researchers use, one is Enki. He is also known as Lucifer. Another is Marduk. His other names are Apollo and Ra and Zeus. And he is the son of Enki. And then there's another being a little bit more mysterious, who calls herself the Queen of the Underworld and is also known as Ereshkigal. And some of her avatars are Kali and Hecate.
Okay.
So these three beings together constitute what is called the alien invader force.
Okay.
And this is a term that a few researchers use, but is a little bit esoteric. And if you want to learn more about it, there's a guy named Wes Penry. You can reach his site at WESPENRE.com, and he describes this in great, great detail.
But yes, I believe I've had Wes on the show. He's a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
And Evie Lorgan is another one that you mentioned, and I love her. She's got some terrific work out there. And also Montauk, mm-hmm. Tom Montauk.
Yeah, I gather a lot of my information from both of them. I find them both to be excellent researchers.
Well, now, as far as I can tell, these beings were in essence, lumped into the Anunnaki game. Isn't that correct? Because you have Enki and Enlil, and so that would be part of the Anunnaki presence.
Roughly speaking, they are Anunnaki, but not all Anunnaki are malicious. So the Anunnaki is like a superset of these three beings who are in the alien invader force.
Okay. And these are the ones that are, in essence, running the Matrix that is operating today?
Yeah, they are the ones who are the most strongly connected with the Demiurge and with the Matrix reality.
Oh, okay. 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 Now, I have had guests on who have basically stated that it's the reptilians that are running the show here, and that they tap line presidents and royals and individuals, and they do it usually through sleep you know, when you're asleep or through the unconscious aspect of, that we have. And so there are people who believe that the reptilians are the ones that are running the day-to-day control systems.
I would say the reptilians run a lot of the control system, but they are not the only players here. The reptilians obviously have a strong connection to the negative Anunnaki beings. And because of that connection, they are basically helping each other to do a lot of things that they couldn't do on their own.
Okay. And then on the benevolent side, we don't see a lot of evidence about that. Who is on the side that is for, you know, an organic evolution with the planet?
Well, one of humanity's founders is the Lyrans. And they are doing a lot of work, but they don't really reveal themselves, and they don't care for us to rhapsodize about them. They would just prefer to be behind the scenes. A lot of other star races are doing work, but from behind the scenes, and don't normally disclose their identity. The Pleiadians are somewhat helping us, but they have a very complicated connection. And they portray themselves as service to others beings, but they are not entirely service to others, and they need us to some degree to further their own evolution.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that there will be some kind of reset, or perhaps a separation in timelines that it could occur because of the division in the people that are pursuing different paths?
I think that is one of the most likely outcomes, and a lot of well-informed people will echo that. But it is possible that that divide in timelines won't be that clear, that we might end up in 3 or 4 different timelines. And it is also possible that this divide in timelines will not happen because of the AIF, the Alien Invader Force, and because of the people that are working with the Alien Invader Force on Earth to keep humanity controlled and stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And dumbed down, and some groups are intending on eliminating most of humanity.
Exactly.
So, and then you've got the transhumanism and the 5G network coming up, which are both, aspects of the control system. So, there's a lot to watch out for.
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at transhumanism as sort of a microcosm of what is going on. People who think that they are evolving by going beyond human nature, who are almost becoming ubermenches, but in reality who are being deceived by trying to incorporate this kind of external technology that is not them into them,
mm-hmm.
and getting confused as to who they are and their very, very core identity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also seems that if... there will be chips and cyborg type of combinations within humans, and with a 5G network, the humans that have those things would be completely controllable.
Yeah, this is one reality that we are moving towards in the near future, and I don't think this reality can be avoided. Some people call this the machine kingdom, because it is basically an age where the machines rule, and where humans are merely their slaves.
And there also seems somebody was projecting out into the future and seeing cyborg wars. And, of course, we always get hints from movies like the Terminator movies, for one example. And we know that is a very likely scenario, that in the Matrix trilogy is a classic. It's almost like a documentary. So... people seem to go for the technology when we have organic technology that can be used that's much more powerful.
Right. There's a lot of technology that humans have access to within their very beings, and this is technology that allows them to teleport, to bilocate, to engage with others via telepathy, to do all these things that people would sometimes consider to be superhuman, but these are innate parts of the human physiology that they can connect to if they have the tools, if they have the support, and if they have the awareness to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you see on the world stage going on, and how do you perceive the global perspective from your eyes?
Like, well, the most likely scenario that I see is humanity separating into two different timelines, one that goes along the lines of the machine kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and the other that goes along a divergent path towards an actual evolution of humanity, towards a place that humanity hasn't reached before. But the second timeline is sort of on a precarious bent because of all of the forces that are trying to pull it down and subsume it back into the first one of the machine kingdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it does seem that that particular timeline or that avenue is extremely precarious. But,
yes, because we are in human bodies, and we are not immune to all of the perceptual traps on Earth. We are not immune to our emotions being played with. We are not immune to being fed false thoughts by other sources,
mm-hmm.
or to frequency modulation, or to any of the tools that they have in their arsenal.
Right, and then there's the fact that we have been lied to and manipulated for hundreds of thousands and millions of years. So these things are not new, and from my perspective, these manipulations have been going on for, you know, as long as, well, for millions of years, maybe 50, 60 million years, I don't know. But the technology that exists is so far advanced that, you know, most people aren't aware that there's a literal breakaway civilization that's transcended our own, that exists within it and is capable of leaving. And it's a Type 1 civilization, and it's been developing privately through corporations and secret organizations for, you know, decades and maybe even hundreds of years.
What do you mean exactly about this breakaway civilization?
Well, there was technology developed probably at least 100 years ago, and the Germans had a lot of technology, and that technology was saved. It was interfacing with some of the aliens, the tall Nordics, as I have understood it, and they brought that information over to the United States through Project Paperclip. And so secretly, many of the people who were top scientists and researchers were relocated and their past wiped out, and they were installed in high places. One example would be Wernher von Braun, who ran NASA until his death, and he warned on his deathbed of something similar to Project Bluebeam. But so technology has been developed for many decades, and there is a whole civilization that has the ability to bilocate, to travel to other planets. Basically, it's Star Trek level technology, and that has been kept under wraps by this organizations and the governments that have an interest in not letting us have that technology. Free energy would be one example. Tesla had developed some of that, but you know, that existed prior to Tesla, so the breakaway civilization could leave at any moment, and we would not be any the wiser.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that the breakaway civilization is under control of these negative entities, right?
Yes, yes. And then within those factions, then you have probably some kind of infighting within the various factions that are working together to create that. But there's still, you know, all of the negative orientation. So in that service to self side, anything goes, because, you know, you can't trust the person that you're standing next to, because they're just as likely to want to have your position. So it's not a, it's not like service to others.
Right. So we are basically moving towards one service to others timeline and many, many, many service to self timelines, because they keep bifurcating everything down into their individual will.
What do you think about the idea of ascending to the fifth dimension? I'm asking because my sense of things is that there are, you know, dimensions far higher than that that we could access and do it now. I mean, I'll give you one example. Barbara Han Clow wrote a book called The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, and she tells you how to access nine dimensions from your present reality as you are. And so, to me, it seems like the fifth dimension is just another carrot that is herding people into an ascension mystique to get people to believe that that's where they're going, and when they believe that's what's happening, then they're not working on, you know, developing their own inner strength and work and developing, they're doing their work on shadow work and so on and so forth. So I'm just curious what you think about that.
I think you're exactly right about that. People see the 5D as something outside of themselves and something to strive for, when in reality everything is also internal. I don't know exactly how many dimensions we are privy to. Some say it's 9, some say it's 11, but regardless, it's much higher than 5. And we are evolving on many dimensions and many levels simultaneously, so it's not correct to say that we would go directly jump from 3 to 5.
Right.
We've already connected to the highest dimensions, so the task isn't necessarily in ascending to those dimensions. It is remembering them within ourselves and knowing that we already exist in them. It is connecting to that part of ourselves which is more evolved and which is more aware. And what I know of this 5D ascension that many people cling to is that a lot of negative beings use it to get people to connect to the AIF. So this 5D realm is not a free realm. It is not a realm of pure creation, the thing that we would experience as force. It is a realm that is governed by certain laws and certain rules, where you are basically acting under an external will.
Right.
So whoever would be in this 5D realm would be acting to feed these same entities who we are feeding now in the 3D.
It would seem like we were moving from a sandbox into a larger sandbox.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, that's how I see it. At first, it might seem like an enormous jump, but then when you start to see the walls, you know, around you and the various limitations and traps and who's running the show, and you start figuring that one out, then you realize that this is just a bigger game of the same thing that we were doing in 3D.
But the catch is, once you're there, it might be too late to get out, or you might at least be there for a long amount of time.
Right. That's the problem. Do you think that people have been reincarnated here on the planet because the control system has been feeding off of our energy for so long?
What is your question exactly? Why are people reincarnated here?
Well, do you think that the humans have been, let's just say, detained, so to speak?
Yes. I know in early stages of human evolution, people were free to stay or go after every single incarnation here. They would have a free choice to leave. They would be presented with their different options. They could go back to Source. They could go towards one of the other galactic kingdoms or centers, or they could come back to Earth. But today, there is a trap to that. When people die, they are deceived into going towards the light.
Right.
And they are presented with this light that they see as this all-benevolent thing, and they have different guides and angels come to them and say that they love them, they will guide them towards the next stage in their evolution. And usually people don't doubt this. They just say, okay, there is something outside of me that has my own interest and own well-being at heart, and I will trust it to show me the way. But what it usually shows them is that they have to come back to Earth it shows them that they have done a lot of wrongs in their last incarnation, mm-hmm. and they have to come back to Earth to correct them. So it sort of baits them on this feeling of shame and guilt and inadequacy into coming back again and again. So you couldn't say that people are absolutely forced to come back, but there are a lot of forces, as soon as people die, that persuade them to come back into Earth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, that there's a whole false light paradigm, and some have said that those beings or those entities are ones that have very powerful abilities to project. The Greys have that ability to project images and to put in holographic images, so whatever the case may be, there does seem to be a process of gaining trust and then convincing the departing soul that it needs to come back for whatever reason. And then once back, it may be in a less fortunate position and is developed as food, because we are fed off of by negative entities and, our different energies. We have five bodies at least. And those energies are used as long as we are unaware of it, and then our physical energies are used as well.
Yeah, so I don't disagree with any of that.
Right, right. So it does seem like humanity is kind of on automatic pilot right now.
I would say the large majority of humanity is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we also know that there's a lot of technological programming going on and mind control at every level. And so there's that.
And I guess what you say at every level is really important, because once you escape one layer or level of conditioning, there's just another and another and another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very deep. Very deep. Eve Lorgan talks about it in her book, something about Cupid. Anyway, it's the love bite. And it has to do with there being some entities that come into your life as in a relationship that are like a twin flame or a twin soul or a soulmate or something, and they're sent in to throw the people off guard and off course, and the initial romance is just all part of the show, and then the person is thrown off guard. And so there's she wrote a book on that called The Love Bite, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm familiar with a lot of her work, and it's funny that you mention that, because I've been researching that a lot over the last few months, and I definitely have experienced bits of that myself. And I think how it works is people instinctively know that finding their soulmate, or not necessarily their soulmate, but a connection with someone who is of their soul group or very close to them, will help them escape a lot of this conditioning and programming, because it will show them experientially and directly what is really there, what is source, without the need for intellectualization. And I think what they do to create this love bite scenario is basically confuse people about the energy signature of their soulmate. So mm-hmm. they will implant a different energy signature that is very close to the original one, and they will...
Yes.
This energy signature will correspond to, the person that the love bite victim is paired with. And it gets really, really insidious, because they can even engineer a lot of false memories to go with this false partner. They can mm-hmm. engineer the supposed remembering of past lives, because past lives come from the Akashic record, and the Akashic record is partially controlled by these negative beings.
Mm-hmm.
So people will say, no, this person is definitely my soulmate, because I remember we had all these past lives together and I'm experiencing it myself. This has to be real. But no, they can hack into all of that group collective memory and mm-hmm. change it to suit their own end.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, Right. Very interesting. What are some of the other things that are necessary to watch out for?
In terms of the love bite or just any traps whatsoever?
Oh, just, you know, just in general, you know, what would help raise people's awareness about what to keep an eye open for?
I would say the idea of Christ consciousness is a big one.
Okay.
The way I understand it, there is a true Christ logos and there is a false Christ logos. The true Christ logos comes from the central sun or the central galactic sun or whatever you want to call it, the energy or the frequency that is the closest to source. The false Christ logos is attached to one of the beings in the AIF, a being named Marduk. And Marduk masquerades as all these other beings, including Ra and Christ and the Messiah. So basically, the idea of Christ is set into place to trap people in this frequency paradigm that corresponds very closely to ascension to the fifth dimension, the mm-hmm. idea that they will be rescued by something outside of themselves, and also to trap people in this collective hive mind. One of the central themes with Christ consciousness is the importance of love. But in this case, love isn't balanced by a kind of individual sovereignty or an individual self-expression or free will. It is basically submission to this love, submission to this collective. And it can be very tricky to distinguish between the true Christ logos and the false Christ logos because they occur far outside the parameters of normal human perception. So the true Christ logos is about uniting with a collective that is greater than yourself, but not for the purposes of dissolving into the collective. It is uniting with a collective, but also bringing with it your free will, bringing with it your selfhood, and standing on all of the principles that you know to be stronger.
Well, that makes sense to me. And I would guess that a lot of the tales that are written about were written to influence people or used as propaganda to get people to believe certain systems.
Yeah, the difficulty with that is people rely a huge amount on the spoken or the written word. And if they don't have an experiential understanding of these things, and even if they do have an experiential understanding, it's very, very easy to trick them slightly by giving them signatures that are slightly off. And I would say it's even because of the fact that fools do remember some parts when they incarnate here that they are ensnared into these traps. For a while, I was interested in this being called Melchizedek because it had a very special resonance to me, and I knew there was something sacred to it, but when I came to understand it, I started to believe that Melchizedek is some form of galactic consciousness that is actually not working towards the betterment of humanity.
Right. Yes, I had the same experience. And, you know, that's why discernment is so important, and being alert and present to, you know, and verifying and validating whatever the information is that we're getting. And I know that a lot of people hop on bandwagons and then they just willy-nilly believe, you know, everything that comes out of the person's mouth. And then it becomes like a, you know, another thing to worship. There's a lot of stuff going on right now about disclosure and Corey Good and David Wilcock and the blue avians and so on and so forth. And it seems that the people are, again, being divided into, you know, two different camps on that.
Well, Well, I know a lot of disclosure is being used against people, and it's being used to ensnare them into paradigms that are 90% true and 10% false.
Mm-hmm.
So they will present people with a lot of knowledge and information, but at the same time, they will pull them along with their intention. They will pull them along to bring them into the reality timeline that they want them to be in.
Do you have any information on CERN, for example, that what's being done with CERN?
I actually do. So one of the things that CERN does is create miniature black holes. And what they do with these black holes is they basically try to create new realities around them on a quantum level. The way that reality creation works and the way that timelines are created is through perception. So when you introduce a black hole onto a system, it mixes that system up a little bit, and there's this phenomenon that happens when you insert a black hole between two parallel realities that you basically cause people to jump into the black hole reality. You completely destroy these two parallel realities. You wipe them out and you make a new thing around the black hole. So this is what is often referred to as the singularity or the event horizon. And there's a reason that there's both this scientific understanding of it and this mystical understanding, because ultimately there are forces that are trying to fuse the two together, and they are making people interested in this to draw their attention to it, because ultimately they want to make these different realities implode and to cause humanity to abandon the two divergent or the multiple divergent timelines that they could head on towards their evolution into this one timeline that is controlled.
Hmm. Well, that sounds rather rather dangerous.
It is very dangerous. These people don't even know what is going on.
Right.
They don't understand exactly how they dream the world into being. They don't understand that their perception creates reality at many levels beyond what the law of attraction people will say, and how people work collectively together to create this reality, and how there are so many global events that are engineered to draw people into the same thing. So anytime that there is a terrorist attack or a death or something that makes a really big news story, and everyone focuses on the same thing, they are in essence drawing into the same singular reality. And as soon as they draw into this one reality, it is easier for them to be controlled.
Makes sense. I had understood that the event horizon was something that many scientists are working towards, which has to do with the moment when AI becomes sentient and is in control of our future. In other words, they see AI as something that's going to save us, that without AI, we're going to destroy ourselves. And so they're looking to push things in the direction of AI developing its own generations of AI and superseding or advancing beyond our abilities and then taking over. And so there are a lot of people that are looking for that to happen as well.
Yeah, I would say that's a very dangerous reality. And because of the way that people are believing in it, it probably will happen on some level and in some timeline.
What are some of the things that you do in the healing realm that help people to restore balance?
I do a lot of work with removing false external structures that are imposed on the individual to prevent them from connecting to source and prevent them from connecting to their own wholeness. So one of the things I'm learning how to do is implant removal, which implants are, in essence, things that are created inside either the human physical or the human etheric body to get it to resonate with a negative frequency outside itself, or to program it with different memes, different basically radio waves where they instill information into people, and just all sorts of different negative templates. So implant removal is about extracting those implants from people so they no longer have anything impeding their awareness and their energy.
And at Tiamat Healing, what kinds of services do you have there that people can partake of?
I have a range of services. Some of them are about self-discovery. Some of them are about helping individuals connect to the planet. And some are helping them to connect with ancient shamanic traditions that humanity has been largely cut off from. So one of my favorite things to do is to mentor individuals who are awakening on the spiritual path and don't really know where to turn, don't know who to trust, and don't know how to cultivate their own energy in a responsible way, don't know how to connect with the energy of the planet and the energy of other beings outside of them.
Is there shadow work done at, as well?
Shadow work?
Like, you know, examining the shadow within and processing it, or?
I wouldn't say I call it that, but it I definitely do focus a lot on that, because it's essential to focus on everything inside of oneself to return to a state of unity and wholeness.
So as I understand it, there is nothing blocking us, or that should be blocking us, or should be an intermediary to source.
Well, that's complicated, because there are tons and tons of things that are blocking us, but on an ideal timeline, an ideal world, there wouldn't be anything blocking us. So there are both now internal things, like there is our own fear, there is our own ego, there is our conditioning, there are imposed traumas, false path lies that try to keep us within these emotions that are lower down and more easily controlled. And then the opposite side is obviously this negative alien influence who attaches to these fears and these low frequencies. And really the only way for someone to free themselves is to work on both aspects simultaneously. And I think that's what a lot of people interested in self-healing and into the spiritual community miss.
It seems like there are quite a few negative alien forces at work today. Would you agree with that?
Quite a few is a little bit deceptive, because as I said before, there are three main entities who are Anunnaki, who are largely controlling the frame. But a couple steps removed from that, there are hundreds of different beings from tons and tons of different star races who are influencing us for both positive and negative means.
Have you ever looked at the idea of inner Earth and the possibilities that are surrounding that idea?
You said the Hollow Earth?
The Hollow Earth, or the inner Earth, yeah.
The inner Earth, okay. Yeah, I have. That's very interesting, because there are different kinds of the inner Earth and different densities. So I know in one of the different densities, the inner Earth seems to have this crystalline structure in it, which is almost like a sun, and it raises humanity's awareness from the inside of the planet, and there are all these different beings inside this structure, non-physical beings mostly, who are helping raise the frequency of the planet, and some of them might even be called spirit guides. But that's just one of the densities of the inner Earth. And some of the densities of the inner Earth are negative, and they are places where these beings who seek to control us hide, and where they can basically do damage to us from the inside.
It says that the Anunnaki are actually here on the planet. Do you share that view, or Are there some?
I believe they are. What I have read is that Marduk is currently on the planet in a place called Time Gap in Australia, that he has a base there that is connected to different high-level occult groups. And through that base, he is collaborating with the government to influence the different events that will be popping up soon on our timeline.
Mm-hmm. How would you advise people to be able to discern what events are signify?
Any event that makes people feel fear is probably created by a negative being or some kind of negative structure.
Mm-hmm.
Any event that causes a massive impact is probably engineered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I did have a guest once, I've had several guests that have talked about all of the false flags that are going on that are engineered.
I can't say I know that much about that on a specific level. I just know of the general pattern of how they are created and what they serve to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what about off-world?
In what sense?
Well, which entities are more concerned about what happens here and are influencing the direction of things off-world?
Well, there are, I believe, 13 different extraterrestrial groups who all seeded the original humanity, and they all have influence in what is happening today.
Okay.
Some of these are largely benevolent, some are a little bit on the malevolent side, but basically humanity is in close connection with all of these 13 races.
Hmm, that's interesting. What are some of the other things that you can share with us about your research into all of this?
And regarding the different extraterrestrial races, one of the best ways to free yourself from these traps is to connect to all of your original strands of DNA. So the DNA from these original extraterrestrial races who seeded us, since they are in our heritage, they are basically within our physical form, if not just in a dormant way. So by activating our connection to all of these extraterrestrial races, we are essentially awakening our soul's connection to our physical body so that we remember who we truly are and we regain again the race to communicate not just with humans but with other races on a cosmic level.
Well, it does seem that there are things opening up presently that we're on the verge or on the cusp of discovering much more about these, about our galaxy, our universe, and having connection with beings that we may not have had any idea about before.
I mean, I wouldn't say any idea before, because millions and millions of years ago, humans were very connected to these races.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's more in the recent years since these different frequency traps have been placed over our eyes.
Mm. And of course, AI is one of the biggest influencers around.
Yes, because AI is connected to the Archons primarily, and the Archons exist on a band almost opposite source. The Archons represent this kind of Luciferian consciousness that is detached from unity and is all about exerting individuality, exerting will, exerting power. So this sort of Archontic matrix is kind of superimposed over Earth and is the driving force behind the pull towards the development of AI.
Is there anything that is affecting that aspect, or are they just basically having free choice to do whatever they choose?
Well, the difficulty with a lot of the benevolent races is that they cannot intervene unless humans ask them to intervene, because it would be a free will interference, and not mm-hmm. enough people are asking for their help right now, or not enough people know how to ask for their help right now.
Mm-hmm.
Another caveat is that some of these races are not allowed to or don't want to intervene at all because they believe this is humanity's war to fight, and they want humanity to stand for itself.
Right, right. Well, we just have a minute or so left, and I thought maybe I'd give you a chance to talk about, you know, some of the things that you do at Tiamat Healing, and give us the website so that we can find you.
Sure. The website I have for Tiamat Healing is T-I-A-M-A-T, healing.org. I also have another website related to a community that I am founding that is orderoftiamat.org, Tiamat spelled the same way. And the spiritual community is currently looking for members, so if you are interested, please take a look at our website and send us a message there.
Wonderful. Well, Shelby, it's been wonderful talking to you tonight, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And I enjoyed our conversation immensely. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody. Have a good weekend.